Amen. What's up, guys? It's great to be together. Good to see you all. And, I'm excited to have you all over Friday night. It's going to be a blast at the house. And it'll be a good time to have you there. I was thinking it should be a Bayou-themed party. But I went back on that. Just inside joke with a few of you there. But it's not. It's going to be a regular house party. It's going to be lit, though. It's going to be a great time. And as Matt said, we just got back from an amazing time at Long Beach Island together. Always a great time. That was, I think, the 8th year that we've gone. And just such a powerful time. It was great lessons and great worship night on Saturday night. And I so appreciate Daryl posting the pictures just to be able to remember the times we had there. And the Family Group Olympics, which, like I said, I still didn't get my football back. It was just doomed to destruction, it seems. It's just lost. And man, what beautiful weather too, right? And just an amazing time down there. And you know, we're studying out the book of Luke, right? So we're going through the book of Luke. And at the beach retreat, we covered Jesus' baptism, his genealogy, his temptation in the desert, him standing in the synagogue reading Isaiah and beginning his ministry. We had in our quiet times the healing of the demon-possessed man, as well as Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. And then Matt closed us out Sunday morning with a great message from the calling of the first disciples in Luke chapter 5. And so we're studying out Luke, and that puts us tonight at Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 26. So you could open up to Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And just to remind you, if you're visiting with us, we're looking at the book of Luke, we're looking at Jesus. And our theme for the year is Fit Life, based off of Luke 9:62, where Jesus says, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. And so we in this room want to follow Jesus and be people who are fit for a life of service in the kingdom of God, a fit life of following Jesus. And so we're looking at Luke to look at, well, who is Jesus and how can we live like him? And so fit life. You know, a life fit for service in the kingdom of God is willing to go anywhere, do anything for Jesus. And so as disciples of Jesus, we must be people in this world who are willing to do things that other people won't. People who are willing to go where others won't. And so the title of my lesson tonight is Fit Life is a life willing to go above and beyond. A fit life, a life fit for service in the kingdom of God, is a life that is willing, where you're willing to go above and beyond what's expected. I have two points for us tonight. First is willing to go beyond to serve, and the second is willing to go above to save. You know, we just want to have this spirit of willingness as we leave here tonight, a willingness, and we'll see that Jesus had that. Just this heart and mindset of, I'll do it, let me help. God, how can I be used? Like Isaiah, here am I, send me. And tonight I want you to think about, how willing are you? You know, when Jesus calls you, how willing are you? We've got to be willing to go above and beyond. Above and beyond what? Above and beyond what's average, what's ordinary, what's necessary, what's expected. And so let's read Luke chapter 5, and we're going to see how Jesus is willing. First, how Jesus is willing to go above and beyond to help us. And then how we must be willing to do that for others and for one another as well. So you guys with me? Well, let's look in Luke 5, verse 12. We'll start off, we'll go through this bit by bit here. We'll just read verse 12 to begin with. Bit by bit, fit by fit.
Like that.
Luke 5, 12. I'm going to do spoken word up here. Not really. That's Stephen's thing. Luke 5, 12. It says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You know, we'll keep reading in a minute here, but this guy comes to Jesus and it says that he is covered with leprosy. So leprosy was a serious disease, still is, and it's, this guy didn't just have the beginning of it. It says that he was covered in leprosy. You know, you might have heard about leprosy before, but leprosy is a shamed disease in this time. It's one that brought shame to the person who had it. Leprosy was a skin-eating disease, a flesh-eating disease. And so if you had leprosy, it tended to start to eat away at your limbs, and One by one, your fingers and toes and sometimes your arms and legs would be eaten away and disappear by the leprosy. You know, it was called and known as a living death to have leprosy like this. People with leprosy were socially outcast because of the different laws they practiced, and to make sure, because it was very contagious, to make sure it didn't spread. If you had leprosy, you were not allowed to live with other people. You had to be homeless. And when people came within a certain distance of you, you had to yell, "Unclean, unclean," to warn them to get away from you. Could you imagine what that would do to a person? Mentally, emotionally? You know, they say that the psychological effect was as serious as the physical effect, because you were forced to live alone and ostracized. And what started to happen, especially because they had an overlapping view of, if bad things happen to me, I must be doing something wrong. You start to blame yourself, to despise yourself, and even to hate yourself. Because you're suffering so much in life and you think it's your fault. And so a leper was dealing with this. This guy comes to Jesus as somebody who's just at his wit's end, desperate, in need for help. And so he saw Jesus, and you can imagine that he had heard other people say, "I saw Jesus and he healed me, he helped me." And this was just the beginnings of Jesus' ministry. And this guy's got some hope here, maybe for the first time in his life. And so he comes to Jesus, and he's not casual. He's not, "Hey, maybe you can help me." He just falls with his face to the ground and he begs Jesus. You know, I think we got to learn from this guy, which we'll talk more about in a minute, but you know, as we go to Jesus, we got to follow this guy's example of desperation. Of just, "Man, I got nowhere else to go. Jesus is the only answer. You know, you see a reverence here that he's not like, "Excuse me, Jesus." He bows down to him with his face to the ground and has a reverence for Jesus, and is not even demanding him to heal him. He's humbly asking, "If you're willing." You know, and there's a reverence, and then there's a humility here. This guy was not, he felt desperate for help, but not entitled. "You must help me. You have to help me." It was, "Man, I'd be so grateful if you helped me, if you're even willing to help me." You know, that question, "If you're willing." You know, this guy's thinking there might even be a chance here where Jesus, like others, is going to just say, "Get away from me," and not even be willing to heal me. You know, he's definitely not thinking about Jesus touching him or embracing him or connecting with him. And so it's just, "Are you willing to heal me?" I think the real question is, "Do you care about me?" Because if you care, you'll help me out. And then he says, "If you are willing," he says, "you can make me clean." And so he comes to Jesus with reverence, humility, not entitlement, desperation, but also with faith. The spirit here of, "You can make me clean if you're willing. So I'm kind of in your hands right now, Jesus, and we'll see what you do." And so let's keep reading here in verse 13 to 15. So he says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And then it says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. And you know Jesus was looking in his eyes. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. You know, we'll keep going in a little bit here. You know, this response here, just if you really can connect with it, it's so heart moving. Jesus reached out his hand, not with a plastic bag on it, reached out his bare hand and touched the man. Looked him in the eye and said, "I am willing." You know, Jesus is risking infection, social suicide, really, of what it would mean then for Jesus to touch him to other people. And Jesus touches him and he says, "I am willing." And then this guy's healed of his leprosy. So Jesus did what? He not only met, but far exceeded this guy's expectations. Jesus went beyond this guy's expectations. You know, that's what Jesus does, is whatever we could come to him hoping for, Jesus can give us even more than that. And don't you love in life when things like that happen? When you're like, "You know, I'd be so lucky right now if I even got a parking spot at MSU." And then you're like, "There's a spot right here? It's like, this is even better than what I would have expected." You know, I told a couple of you this, but a couple months ago, I went to Gap to return a few pairs of pants. And this was one of the most miraculous moments of my life, besides becoming a Christian. And so as a lot of you know, I've lost a lot of weight in the last year, right? And so Chelsea, for Christmas and my birthday back in December and January, bought me 3 pairs of pants. A pair of these Gap jogger khakis that are awesome. A pair of Gap jeans, and then a regular pair of khakis. So 2 of them were for Christmas, 1 was for my birthday, vice versa, whatever. So December, January, I'm wearing them. I'm wearing the, every Sunday, I'm alternating the khakis. I'm wearing the jeans regularly. And then over the next few months, I'm dropping waistline sizes, right? So 33 to 32 to 31 to 30. And so now these pants, back in June or July, I'm trying to put them on, and it's like, I literally, even with the belt on, they're so scrunched up, it looks terrible. I just won't even wear these. And so now it's like, Chelsea just spent, which she got them on sale even, but you know, it's like 40, 50, 60 bucks, whatever, each pair of pants. And I'm like, this is just a waste now. And so I'm like, Chelsea, do you think we could exchange these? And she's like, definitely not. You've been wearing them every week. She's like, I bought them in December and January, and I threw out the tags and the receipt. This is good luck. You can try. And so we get in the car, and I go to Gap with these pairs of pants, all 3 of them. And we go in, and we talk to the woman at the register, and she's like, honestly, Chelsea, I think it was like, you deal it, because it's kind of embarrassing. And so, and I was kind of hoping she would do it, because I was embarrassed. And so, and I'm a Christian, I'm like, I'm not going to lie no matter what. So I'm going to tell her I bought them in December, we don't have the tags, we don't have blah, blah, blah. But only if she asks. And so, so I go up, and she's like, look, honestly, I can't help you with this. If you want help, you'd have to talk to the manager, but it doesn't look good. So I'm like, well, where's the manager? And she's like, that woman over there. So I go up to the manager, explain the situation. She's like, when did you buy them? And we said, December, January, we don't have the tags. They don't fit anymore. And she's like, okay, just go pick out 3 new pairs. And so I'm like, all right. And I quickly go, I get, and the one style of khakis didn't have anymore, so I got the newer style, not on sale, 80 bucks. And then another pair of the jeans, new pair, not on sale, like 70 bucks or whatever. And then the khakis, the jogger khakis, which are my favorite, they didn't have them in the store anymore. And so the woman said, I think we still have them online. And so she found them online, and she credited me the full $65 for them, and they were on sale for 30 bucks online. And so I got 2 pairs, a tan and a gray pair, in exchange for my one old too big for me pair. So I walked in with 3 pairs of pants too big on me that are used. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, Mark. So you guys need faith. And I walked out with 4 pairs of pants, not on sale, newer models, so encouraged and just blown away. You know, that experience was beyond what I expected. And I think you guys are fired up to imagine that happening to you. I was. But we got to realize that, man, when we come to Jesus, that's literally what he does for us. Is you go to Jesus like, help me with this, and he helps you with so much more than that. You know, when I 8.5 years ago, or almost 9 now, decided to study the Bible, get serious about my walk with God and become a Christian, I knew it was going to be better. I knew Jesus was going to help my life. But it has been so much better, so much more help than I ever would have expected it to be. Jesus goes beyond to serve us, to serve this leper, just like happened for me at Gap, but even better. You know, Jesus, this is the thing though, really get this. Jesus is willing to go beyond average, necessary, or normal. Jesus is willing to do that. You know, he talked to the guy. That was beyond normal. He stood near him. That was beyond normal. He healed him. That definitely wasn't normal. And then, did Jesus have to touch the guy? He didn't touch everybody he healed, but he touched him. You know, why did he touch him? Because he was willing to go beyond the call of duty. You know, it wasn't just a remedy to leprosy the man needed. He needed his humanity back. He needed to be cared about, connected with. And Jesus didn't just meet the need on the surface, he went beyond that. He healed them, but he went further than that as well. You know, Jesus was willing to go beyond anyone else to help somebody. Jesus was willing to touch the untouchable, to love the unlovable, to forgive the unforgivable, and to use the unusable. That's the Jesus that we're trying to be fit to follow. You know, this was for the leper, but this was his way for all who came to him. The crowds that came to follow, this was This is Jesus' way for you. You know, you could come to Jesus covered with your version of leprosy, covered with shame, with impurity, with pride, with self-hate, with problems, whatever it is. And when you come to Jesus humbly, reverently, not entitled or reluctantly, he is willing to cleanse you and walk with you. That's who Jesus is. And so tonight, is there something you need Jesus to cleanse you of? Have you asked him to? Do you believe he's willing? You know, how do you get there? How do you get to the cleansing? You got to follow this guy's example. You've got to realize by seeing Jesus like he saw Jesus that Jesus is what you need for help. You've got to wave the white flag and lay down and beg Jesus to help you, to trust, to rely on him, to pray to him, and to be willing to change yourself. This guy got healed, and then as he walked away praising God, and also Jesus said, now go offer the sacrifices required of you. And so we come to Jesus for help, but then we got to walk away ready to obey him as well and to follow his word. Those things go hand in hand. You know, we want healing from Jesus, but we also need to be willing to follow his word, because a lot of times that's where the healing comes from. It's by applying his word to our lives. And so what do you need cleansing of? And when you look at your life, how does your intensity and dependency to get help compare to this leprous man's? And I would encourage you to follow his example. You know, Jesus is willing to extend himself for us. And in his kingdom, we too must be willing to go beyond for others. That like he's willing to go beyond average, that we're willing to do that for others as well. Right. You know, it's easy to help or to serve when it's convenient. It's easy to do bare minimum or only what's requested or asked of you. But it's like Jesus to be willing to do what's not even asked of you. Or it's like Jesus to do even more than what's expected or asked of you. And so like Jesus, we've got to have this I am willing mindset. This willingness, that's what Jesus wants us to have. Where we're willing to extend ourselves. We're willing to touch the untouchable, forgive the unforgivable, and love the unlovable. You know, how willing are you to go beyond what's comfortable or average for you to help others? What keeps you from being willing? Now, I think it's good to realize, man, what keeps me from being a really willing person? Is it convenience? You know, that it's just, man, you just wait for the stars align to help others. And then if you have to get out of your comfort zone or out of your convenience line, then it doesn't happen. Or maybe a big thing for some of us is what keeps us from going beyond for people is that it's not glory work. Wow. Right? It's like, you know, nobody's even going to see this. Wow. This isn't what's lifted up. This isn't what's mentioned. This isn't what's talked about. Nobody shared about the last time I did this. Right, we got to do what we do for praise from God, right? And to bring praise from God, not praise for ourselves. Jesus did this and then even said, don't tell anybody about it. And he knew, you're going to tell people about it. He was trying his best to keep things under wraps so he could move about freely and they wouldn't come, which they eventually did, and try to make him king by force or kill him. And so he's like, don't tell anybody. And Jesus wasn't looking for human praise. And so he served. It wasn't about glory from people. Now maybe what keeps you from being willing is being too busy. Or maybe it's just not paying attention, just so in your rhythm that it's like you got to look for needs around you. You know, maybe it's that you feel uncomfortable or awkward to help people or that you don't know what to do. I don't know what it is for you, but you got to think about what holds me back from just being freed up to be willing. Now, what does it mean to be willing? To be willing is to be ready, eager, or prepared to do something. And so that means to be willing doesn't just mean, okay, fine, I'll do it. Willing means not reluctant, right? Willing means eager, ready, prepared to do something. And so willingness it has action, but more than that, it's an attitude and a place of heart and mind, right? Man, I'm willing. I want to help. I want to serve people. And so I would encourage you practically to go beyond normal, to go beyond where others will to serve people, to break social barriers, you know, to amaze people with how you use your time for others. You know, that you do things for people, you help them with stuff, you give them rides where other people don't do that for people. You know, you offer, hey, would you want me to help you with this class? Or do you need help with carrying that? Or do you need help? And it's like, who asks that? You know, and that we're willing to go beyond what's average for people to ask to help with. You know, that you're willing to go outside your comfort zone for others. You know, and I will say, I think we sometimes separate the mission from serving. Studying the Bible with somebody is serving them. Yeah. You know, and so if it's out of your comfort zone to lead Bible studies with people, that's a way to go beyond yourself to serve. You know, I'm going to lead studies because that's going beyond my stuff, out of my comfort zone to serve others. You know, and I want to say too, Jesus met the service need, but he went deeper to connect with this guy, right? He touched him. And so I'd encourage you, as you're serving people too in a surfacey way, to try to go deeper and connect. And what I mean by that is, let's say you're giving somebody a ride, which is awesome. Give them a ride, but also try to connect and build a relationship there. You know, hey, what did you learn from midweek tonight? Or is there something I could pray for you about? What's going on at home? How's your family? You know, and that as we're serving each other and other people too, we go deeper and have conversations that really connect with people. Does that make sense?
Come on, Bobby.
You know, also, Jesus touched him. And I do think there's some significance to that. Studies show that for us, human touch is a really important thing. You know, and obviously this is meant in a very pure way, but we do need and should be very warm, friendly, just affectionate people with each other. You know, we might think side hugs are annoying, side hugs are lame or whatever, but you know, if your heart's behind it, it actually is meeting a real need for people. To walk into a room, to smile, to be warm, be friendly, to embrace somebody. You know, to put your arm around them when you're praying together, to comfort somebody when they're going through something, you know, and just to really, to meet that need as well there, I think is a cool thing to see from Jesus. But overall, I just want to encourage you to, like Jesus, have a see a need, meet a need mindset. Even if it's not what's expected of you, or it's more than what's asked of you, you just live with a, hey, I see a need out there, I'm going to try to do something about it. And I want to close this point with the disclaimer that it's okay to say no sometimes. Saying no doesn't mean you're not willing, right? And so sometimes there's wisdom in not doing something because you're doing something else, or right? And the point of this isn't to feel pressured to always say yes to everything. The point of this is to have a heart that's willing. Man, I wish I could help. Let me see if somebody else can help. Or I can't do the whole thing, but could I help a little bit, you know? And or maybe you just get advice about it. Hey man, this person asked me to help with this. I want to help, but I've got this and this going on. What would you do? You know? And I want to say too, with people asking help from you, it is important to not be taken advantage of. And it's important to protect yourself and to be safe. You know, and I just say that to say sometimes I think we can feel guilty with sermons about serving the homeless and stuff to do that. And sometimes we put ourselves even in unwise or unsafe situations. And we got to remember that we're different from Jesus. Jesus knew what was in a person. We don't always know what's going on in somebody, right? And so we got to practice discretion and wisdom too with things that we do. And so I just want to throw that out there as a disclaimer. Sometimes I hear stuff and I feel guilty in certain situations not extending myself, but it's not a lack of willingness. It's sometimes my kids are with me, my wife's with me, I'm by myself, maybe sisters are with you, or you know, different situations, and you just want to have wisdom with stuff. But overall, I think we want to have this willingness where, just like Jesus, he said, I am willing. You know what's cool is this leper came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. And I want you to think about for your life, you can fill in the blank there for you. You know, for your life, if you are willing, what can you do? He said, Lord, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. Right. In your life, if you are willing, you can fill in the blank. All right. What impact could you have with your life if you were a more willing person? You know, and as we move on to the next point, I got one more verse in here, verse 16. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Verse 16, you know, it's hard to be willing when we're overwhelmed, isn't it? When you're overwhelmed, it's hard to be willing. So willingness and the power of a transforming life comes from withdrawing to lonely places to be with God. To be willing takes withdrawing. Jesus did this. In verse 16, it says, but Jesus, right? It says crowds came to him and he helped them. And then it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So you're reading this, you're like, man, crowds coming to Jesus. Dude, didn't you get overwhelmed? And he helped them. And then it says, but he often withdrew to lonely, or another word there is remote, private places to spend time with God, private places to pray. And you know, it's his personal time alone with God that Jesus really wrestled with his humanity to have the radical willingness that he had. You know, you see that in the Garden of Gethsemane before he gives his life, which was an incredible willing thing to do. You know, he says, not my will, but your will be done. You see him just getting time with God, wrestling to that decision. And so to go beyond yourself, you've got to go beyond stimulation to solidarity. You know, you're around people a lot. We're busy all the time. We've got phones, TV on, all this different stuff, internet, social media. You've got to take time to unplug. You're not going to be able to live a life like Jesus if you don't get away from things. You know, literally Jesus had no smartphone, no internet. He went, when he was alone, he was alone with God. And I think we got to make time to do that. We need time alone to God, a time alone with God to refuel, to refocus. You know, this is something I know I constantly need to call myself to do more in the morning, but also even during the day. You got a few things back to back, just take a few minutes and stop and pray. And you know, we're just go from thing to thing and just stop, spend 5 minutes with God, and then keep going. It could help you recharge to keep that willing spirit. So a life fit for service in the kingdom of God is willing to go beyond the ordinary to meet the needs of others like Jesus does for us. Amen? Second point and last point is that life fit for service is also willing to go above to save others. Willing to go above and beyond. So willing to go beyond to serve and above to save. Let's keep reading here in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's read verse 17 down to 19. It says, one day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of Jesus was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. They were willing to go above to save this guy. You know, these guys were carrying their paralyzed friend on a mat and tried to get him to Jesus. They couldn't get in because of the crowds, and instead of giving up, they were willing to go above onto the roof, dig a hole, and then lower him through the tiles to get him down in front of Jesus. You know, as they were willing to go above to save their friend, we've got to be willing to do that for each other. You know, you can apply this point, this passage, to our mission of bringing those that are lost, spiritually paralyzed, to Jesus to be saved. But there's also the idea of us as brothers and sisters needing to help one another be brought to Jesus to stay saved. You know, we can apply this to with us and the lost, that we're trying to bring people to Jesus, but also to each other. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we've got to keep each other saved and be willing to go above for each other. And I'm kind of going to focus a little more on that latter point. You know, in James 5, verse 19, James writes, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. You know, I love Josh's welcome, and the scripture he read works perfectly with this. Right? This is how we know what love is, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. You know, we've got to be willing to go above to save each other. We're saved, but not yet. When you become a disciple, when you make Jesus Lord, repent, or baptize, you're saved, but then we got to stay faithful. So we're saved, but not yet. We got to make it to the end of our life when Jesus comes back to ultimately save us. And so we got to save each other, keep each other saved. You know, when one of us starts wandering, we need to be someone who is willing to fight, to go above average, to bring that person back to Jesus, to save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. You know, this passage in James talks about people wandering from the truth and then wandering back into a life of sin. And both of those lead us to being paralyzed, spiritually paralyzed. You know, there's a verse in Ephesians 4, 17 to 19. It says, I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of an impurity. They are full of greed. And so there's this idea here of when we're living in sin, what happens? Our thinking starts to be darkened. Our understanding starts to get blurry. We're thinking is futile. We become ignorant, hardened in heart. We lose sensitivity, and then we give ourselves over to sensuality with a continual craving for more. You know, even though you've become a Christian, for those in this room that have, This can happen to you. You can end up wandering from the truth and back into a life of sin. And what's scary about it is you could be wrong and not know it, or sinning and not see it. You could be futile in your thinking, darkened in your understanding, hardened in heart, and having lost sensitivity. We could be wrong and not know it, sinning but not see it. You know, we get stuck sometimes. We wander. We fall into sin. We start thinking off and thinking unspiritually. We make mistakes. Sometimes we don't know what we're doing. You know, we're trying to be Christians, but we're new at it. We don't know how to live the walk with God that we're called to. And it's in those times that we need mat carriers. You need mat carriers. None of us are going to get from here to heaven by ourselves. You know, you gotta be willing to realize that this can happen to you. And if it happens to you, we need to, when people bring stuff up to us or see stuff in us, you know, as we walk with God, you gotta be willing to ask yourself, man, could I be wrong here? Could they be right? I don't see this. I don't think I'm wrong, but could I be? Could they be right? And have an openness to investigate that. You know, and I think sometimes when we're in a rough place, kind of like this guy, we just got to lay on the mat and let other people carry us. And that doesn't mean you don't fight for your own walk. More what I mean by that is you kind of put your life in other people's hands and say, you know what, I can't trust myself right now. You're a spiritual person. You tell me what to do. You know, and I've been there. We got to do that sometimes. We take matters into our own hands sometimes. And when we're in a spiritually paralyzed place, sometimes we got to go to a spiritual person and say, you know what? I honestly think I'm in a rough spot right now, or you're telling me I am. So you teach me what to do. You show me what to do. I don't know what to do. I need help. Help me. When you're paralyzed, do you recognize it? And when you are paralyzed, do you let other people lead you, or do you fight when other people try to help you? You know, when a brother or sister is starting to drift away, don't let them. Fight for them. Be a mat carrier. You know, if you were one of these guys carrying this guy, would you have just thrown in the towel when you got to the door and it was crowded and said, oh, well, bro, sorry, we tried. Looks like you're going to have to stay paralyzed. Or would you have said, no, there's got to be another way in here. You know, there's got to be another way we can help you, man. You know, what does it look like to be a mat carrier that goes above? What does it look like to be a mat carrier? Because we've got to be mat carriers that go above. You know, first, I think it looks like you notice when someone is going through something. That when you're here, you're paying attention to people. You notice when someone is discouraged, in a hardship, wandering, in sin, doing something wrong, not the way Jesus would do it. When someone's stuck, first you notice. You're paying attention to how other people are doing. You are your brother's keeper. Instead of Cain, who killed his brother, and when God said, where is he? You're like, am I my brother's keeper? That wasn't okay for him to say that. You know, we want to be our brother and sister's keeper. You know, and when we notice things, what do you want to do next? You want to involve yourself. Get involved. You know, these guys, they carry this paralyzed guy. They were involved. You know, and so I think what we could do sometimes is we know something's going on, and what we do is we assume someone else is helping them. Oh, well, their discipling partner must be helping them. Oh, I saw them talking. They must have talked about that. You know, if you see something, say something. Talk to them about it. Have a conversation. It doesn't need to be overtly confrontational. Out of love, connect and say, hey, man, what's going on? You know, how are you? I noticed this. Let me help you with this. What do you think? You know, be solution oriented. Be faithful. You know, we got to go into conversations, not, well, it sounds like you're doomed. You know, you're paralyzed. It's busy. I don't think there's any help for you. We got to go in and be like these mat carriers that are like, bro, look, I see it's crowded, but we're going to get you in there, man. You know, we want to be solution oriented for each other. As you're helping each other, come in. If they're going through their sin, hardship, they're stuck, you got to come in and compensate with your faith. Yeah. Bro, we could get through this. You've got this. Jesus has got this. Yeah. Let's do this. Let's figure this out. Let's be solution oriented. There's got to be a way you could come out of this faithful. Yeah. You know, and as we get involved, we got to bring people to Jesus. That's the goal. Yeah. What does it mean to bring people to Jesus? It means bringing faith, hope, love, grace, and truth. That's what we need to bring in these conversations. You know, bringing people to Jesus means that you're praying for them and you're praying with them. Bringing people to Jesus means you're bringing up scriptures and you're talking about them together. That's bringing people to Jesus. Another way to be a mat carrier that goes above is to not give up easily. You know, I think when we're trying to help somebody, sometimes We're like just a one shot and done. It's like, hey, I tried to talk to him about it, but it didn't go well. So he's on his own now. You know, I tried to talk to him about it, but he didn't want to hear it. You know, or sometimes we talk to somebody about it and we listen to what's going on, but we don't do anything to help. And we think, and listening is helpful, but sometimes it's not just listening, it's saying something, it's doing something, right? It's like in James chapter 2 where it says you hear somebody needs food and you say, you listen to him, you say, good luck with that, but you don't do anything, right? And so it's being a good listener is just the first step. Then you want to get involved and help somebody. Find a way to serve them, encourage them, disciple them on it, correct them on it, help them with it. Get people through it. And if you don't know what to do, get help, get advice about it. Ask them, hey, can I get help with how to help you with this? You know, and try to get help if you don't know how to help somebody with something. You know, maybe it's you and someone that are in a conflict. Maybe it's not helping somebody with something going on, but it's something going on between you and somebody else. You know, and I think to go above and beyond, we got to be the people that are willing to forgive or to apologize first. And so these are all different ways to be mat carriers that go above. You know, and I think if something is really serious and somebody's really starting to wander, to drift from God, I think we could give up too easily sometimes. Well, I called him. I texted him. It's like, man, drive over to his house. You know, leave a voicemail. Why, like, let's fast for this guy, this sister, right? Like, let's go by their job. Let's you know, or go by their dorm or whatever. Get a gift basket for him. Find out what's going on. Did they lose a loved one? What's going on? You know, and really get in there and fight for people, to be mat carriers, to bring people to Jesus. You know, it says, we'll keep reading here in verse 20. Those are ways we can be mat carriers that go above. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. You know, this is interesting because it doesn't say when Jesus saw his faith, it says when he saw their faith, and he said to the guy, your sins are forgiven. Now, this guy was saved by the faith of others. You know, there will be times in your life where you will really need people in your life that will carry you. Well, your faith isn't going to be enough. You need other people's faith. Their help, their actions, their words, their correction, their love, their service. You know, I want you to really think, are you building relationships now to where when you really need them, you'll have them? You know, or on the other side, are you building relationships where you're going to be that friend whose faith saves someone else when they really need you? You know, these are the relationships we need to be building. You know, that's what these guys gave this paralyzed man. They gave him the faith he needed. You know, they were willing to carry him. They found a way onto the roof. Maybe he was like, guys, forget it. Maybe he was feeling embarrassed. You know, you're a paralytic. You're laying on the mat. They're carrying you up on the roof. You're laying there. I can imagine maybe feeling embarrassed. Feeling like, guys, come on, this is ridiculous. Lowering him through the roof. And they're like, no, man, you need this. You need this, you know? We're going to do this, you know? And so they talked him. And, you know, when we're really trying to have faith for people, what is faith, right? Faith is expressed through love, through service, through words, through truth. And so to have faith for others, those are the things that we need to give them, to carry them, to bring them to Jesus. So this is what we must do for each other and get from other people in our lives. You know, I asked Shauna, I said, hey, is there any sister that stands out to you as somebody who's just super willing and who's totally a mat carrier in this ministry? And she could have said multiple people, but the sister that jumped out at her was Elna. Yeah. You know, Shauna shared about Elna, and Shauna said, look, you could ask Elna to do anything, and she's willing. That's right. She's not only willing, she's diligent and ready to take on any task. But it's not just that, it's her relationships with the sisters. And I hope the sisters and maybe some brothers feel that. The conversation she has, checking up on people, Shauna said, that she's a safe place for the sisters, that she could be confided in and she listens, but then she also helps and says and does something about it to help point people back to Jesus, that Elna serves as a conflict resolver, peacemaker in this ministry. You know, we need people like Elna in this ministry. We need mat carriers. You know, we got to be mat carriers for one another and willing to go above average to bring people to Jesus. Let's read the rest of this passage here. You know, we need to be willing to go above for other people. And I want to close out showing you that as we need to be willing to go above to save, Jesus shows us that he's willing to go above to save us. Jesus was willing to go above average to save us in this passage as well. Let's read verse 20 down to the end. says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he knows what we're thinking too. And he asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, We have seen remarkable things today. You know, we've got to be willing to go above average for each other, but what's awesome is Jesus is willing to go above average for us as well. First, he goes above average by calling him friend. This guy was a stranger. You know, Matt does this. Matt calls people my friend all the time. He's like, my friend, can I get a water? You know, Jesus was relationally willing to invest. It's like, he wasn't like, hey, I don't know you, but I'll help you. It was friend. You know, Jesus invested himself relationally. He went above average. The way he viewed the guy was above normal. And then Jesus goes above and forgives this guy's sins. And then he heals him. This guy might have been faintly hoping that he can even get in the room, let alone get a chance to ask Jesus, if you're willing, you can help me. He walks out with his sins forgiven and able to walk home carrying the mat he'd been laying on for years probably. You know, this guy was probably thinking he wasn't getting anything once he saw how crowded it was, right? And then he walked away, literally, with more than he could have bargained for. And we got to know that's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. Jesus always exceeds our expectations. And he says to these guys, which is harder? To say, pick up your mat and walk, or your sins are forgiven? And if you're not sure, the harder thing to do is say your sins are forgiven. Because only God can do that. You know, it was harder for Jesus to say your sins are forgiven. He did the harder thing first. And he said, why? He said, I did that first so that you would know that I have authority on earth to forgive sins. You know, while Jesus was on earth, he had all authority, right? He still does. While he was here, he could do whatever he wanted. He could tell somebody, your sins are forgiven. He did that for the thief on the cross, for this guy, and for others. After he left, he laid in place in Acts chapter 2 a new way that we have forgiveness through Jesus. But he told them, look, what's harder? What's easier? Forgiving sins is harder, and I did that to show you who I really am. And now I'll go ahead and icing on the cake, I'll heal the guy too. And then I'll do the easier thing, which for you probably seems impossible as well. You know, side point, I think we got to follow Jesus' example. Do the hard things first. Yeah. Now, I think a lot of times we put the hard things on the back burner. Do hard things first. Right. You know, live with the power of God and do the hard things first. Whatever for your week, your schedule, the conversation you got to have, that whatever's intimidating you most, do that first. That takes faith. You know, Jesus had authority on earth to forgive sin. This word forgive here, the English word, has a certain idea. The Greek word here has got a little bit of a better idea. You know, for us to forgive somebody in English, it's a good thing. What does it mean? It means that a relationship is renewed between two people despite whatever wrongdoing has been done. But the act, the wrongdoing, cannot be erased or changed. So to forgive someone is a good thing, right? And we need to forgive. So to forgive means, hey, we're in a relationship. You did something wrong or I did something wrong. You forgave me or I forgave you, and now we're back in a good relationship again. But the thing that happened can't be changed and can't be erased, right? And so that's human forgiveness. That's how we operate. We can forgive, but it's really hard, maybe impossible for us to forget, right? And so we got to try to forget, but we definitely need to forgive. The Greek word here is a word we don't have in English for forgive, and I'm probably saying it wrong, but it's aphemi. And this is a word that means God's forgiveness. This is a way that God forgives. And God forgives in a way that's above the way that humans can forgive. This word aphemi, it means to leave behind, to let go. It means to give up a debt. It doesn't mean the debt was paid back. It means I'm erasing it. It means to send something away, to leave it away. And so Jesus has authority to forgive in a way that's to erase our sin. You know, Jesus forgave us in a God-forgiveness way. He paid the penalty. Sin can no longer be held against you as a disciple. You know, the guilt caused by sin is removed and it's replaced with Jesus' righteousness. So as a disciple of Jesus, you are so forgiven. You're forgiven above human forgiveness. You're forgiven that in God's eyes, it is as if you have never sinned. That it's not even history. To God, your sin is not even part of your story or the past anymore. You know, as a disciple, do you carry a heavy burden for sins you've committed? If you turn to Jesus, you repent, and you keep following him, your sins are God forgiven. You don't have to carry that weight anymore. God's forgiveness is above human forgiveness. We are God saved. Jesus can and is willing to make you clean. God forgets, but I will say this, we shouldn't forget. This guy walked away praising God. You know, we should always remember what Jesus has saved us from so that we can go home and go everywhere we go, carrying our mat, praising God, carrying our story. Here's what Jesus saved me from. Here's what Jesus did for me. You know, I hope we can leave here tonight willing to go above and beyond, ready, eager, prepared to exceed expectations, to be the people in this world that are willing to go places other people won't go, do things other people won't do, serve where other people won't serve, people who are willing to do whatever it takes. You know, we do this because Jesus has got above and beyond for us in so many ways. And so let's be willing to go beyond to serve, to invest, to go the extra mile, to have an impact. Let's be willing to go above to save the lost, but also to save each other, to be mat carriers for one another as brothers and sisters. And if we do those things, if we're willing to go above and beyond to serve and to save, then crowds will come to Jesus to hear and to be healed, and then they too will be filled with awe, praising God, and we'll be able to say we have seen God do remarkable things this day. Amen? Thank you, guys. Woo.